1:15 on WFAN. It's Rosie, Paul Rosenberg here with you. We have found him and efforted him. The legendary, the one and only, Steve Summers joins me. Stevie!
Paulie, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well,
good morning.
I'm doing okay. If Mike and the Mad Dog and Stephen A. Smith could have that reunion two-hour program that I saw the other day, you and I can have a one-hour or so reunion
Well. Stevie, you're too kind.
Now.
Stevie, you are 100% too kind. Before we get into the sports and everything, because I know people have already told me that they want to talk to you.
Okay.
So if you want to get on the line, 877-337-6666. We'll start with just today. What are your thoughts on the Kyrie Irving situation?
Well, I hope the Nets get rid of that anti-Semite. That's number one. He just wants to get paid. He's not worth the trouble. And yes, he's a great player. We all acknowledge that. We all recognize that. And where he would really like to go if he doesn't get that extension with the Nets, he wants max money. He's not a max player, doesn't show up half the time. He's not reliable. Great player. You got to keep reminding everybody about that. But get rid of the anti-Semite. I wouldn't want him on the Knickerbockers, and that's the only team I really care about. And by the way, real quick, about the Knickerbockers, Randall does not belong as an all-star selection. The one Knickerbocker who belongs in the all-star game is Brunson. He has made it easier for Randall. He's made it easier for himself and the rest of the team. And no, they're not championship caliber. They're missing a couple of pieces. And
yes, they are.
And Barrett has had his issues and has been benched and so forth and so on. But the real all-star so far for the Knickerbockers is Brunson.
Brunson's been wonderful.
Randall should be on that all-star team.
Brunson has been great. And that was that. And a lot of people didn't like the deal that they gave him. They thought it was too much money. He wasn't that good of a player. And he is very quickly kind of shutting everybody up, saying he's got the skills to get that money and get and elevate the Knicks to a higher level.
Yeah. Oh, no. He's really been the key, you know, to them being competitive. You beat Miami. You take care of Boston. You know, you're a good team. They're not a great team, but they're a very good team. They're very competitive. They fight very hard, and they show up in the fourth quarter most of the time. So the bottom line is Brunson really has been the all-star for the Knickerbockers. I mean, I'm not saying Randall hasn't had a decent season. He's put up good numbers, but Brunson is the key.
Steve, I couldn't agree more. This is Steve Summers on WFAN. If you want to get involved in the conversation, say hi to Steve. We're going to do that in a little bit. 877-337-6666. That's the phone number to call if you want to get involved and chat with me and chat probably more with Steve Summers myself.
Well, they'll chat with both of us.
100%.
But here's the thing. Are you going to miss Tommy? Are you going to miss the so-called GOAT, who is not really the GOAT of all time, that's for sure.
We all know about Shady Brady and Bill Belichick, don't we?
And he's lost Super Bowls also. So the bottom line is that, to me, he's not the greatest of all time. You can break it down era to era to era. And if I can quote from the aforementioned first take with Stephen A. Smith and Mike and the Mad Dog the other day, which was a very sedated 2 hours.
Well, I do think the Brady news kind of ruined the flow.
It did.
That had to have ruined the entire...
You got to love it when the young lady who was the co-host along with Stephen...
Molly Karam.
Yeah. You should have seen her face when the name Otto Graham was brought up. I mean, to me, that was just a big smile and a chuckle. I mean, she had no idea about Otto Graham, and nor should she, being the millennial that she is. She tried to bring it back to Brady and the quarterbacks. And I heard you talking at the very beginning of the segment here, Paulie, about, you know, the Jets. They're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. He'll either retire, which I don't think he's going to do. There's too much money still on the table. And here's another thing. I don't think Rodgers wants to retire in the same year as Brady, where they would have to share the stage at the Hall of Fame induction in Canton, Ohio.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah, I don't think Rodgers.
So you think Rodgers is?
And I don't think he would go to the Jets.
Right. So you think Rodgers is that essentially egotistical that he would not want to retire in the same year as Tom Brady,
well,
so he didn't have to
right.
share that? That's
yeah.
I
don't think that's going to. And Rodgers is a drama queen.
Yes, but the talent. He's so good at. He's so good at quarterbacking, obviously, and the Jets have a win-now team.
Yeah, well, they may need a little bit more of a win-now team that could use a quarterback is the 49ers. And Rodgers went to Cal, grew up,
yes,
like Brady did, of a 49er fan.
Yes.
But Brady, I do believe he's going to stay retired. That's number one. Rodgers, I think, is going to stay in Green Bay. Where the Jets should go for a quarterback, and you mentioned his name, he's not the best, but I think either Carr or Garoppolo is going to end up. Remember that Saleh used to work with the 49ers.
Yep.
I think the 49ers and Saleh and the Jets could probably work something out for Garoppolo, I've never trusted. And Carr, who just won a passing competition with the Hall of Fame, it was an accuracy competition with passing, and Carr just won it, though, I guess, 24 hours ago?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so he not wasn't all that accurate all the time with the Raiders. But with the competition, it means absolutely nothing, and nobody pressuring him or coming after him, he wins the accuracy competition. But either Carr or Garoppolo.
I think
one of those two.
I think that's probably where it's heading. The Niners do expect Garoppolo to leave via free agency.
Oh yeah.
Rodgers said yesterday at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am that he is not going to San Fran. Nobody knows if he was kidding or not, but
he's being serious. Yeah,
right. So he says so. But again, the Jets have this, you know, they have a window now where if they even had a competent quarterback last year, they make the playoffs. And then
I agree. The Jets are definitely on the rise, and yeah, they a quarterback. I mean, let's face it, that's the most important position. So yeah, they with a competent quarterback, you know, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, so you don't have to be, you know, a Dan Marino, a Rodgers, even a Brady, to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But if the Jets had somebody that could not make mistakes and just keep the ball with his own team,
right?
They're a playoff team.
They're a playoff team. If they have, you know, even if you want to go to the team that's also in New York, the Giants. If the Jets have Daniel Jones on the team, they're probably a playoff team.
Yeah, and they have to be careful about paying Saquon Barkley. He'll be back with the team. They need him. They need a healthy Barkley. They need a Barkley that can play, and they need some other pieces.
Yes, they
too.
Do.
So, but no, Daniel Jones came of age this season. He was good, not great. But he was very, very good. He certainly improved. And
how much money what do you think the Giants should do with Daniel Jones? That's been a big topic of conversation on the Fan, what they should do with Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, how they should kind of divvy up. Do you franchise tag Saquon and kind of sign Daniel Jones to a short-term, bigger money type deal? What is the Steve Sommers take on the Giants?
Well, again, I don't get into money too much because it's not mine, and but the bottom line is he'll be back. They'll probably work out some kind of a deal for a couple of years with club options and incentives, and they may have to tag Barkley. They certainly don't want to give him major money, and as the running back that he is, he misses time. But Daniel Jones, you know, they definitely want him, and he wants to be a Giant. that doesn't give him much leverage, and he wouldn't be as useful to any other team other than the Giants anyway. So the bottom line is the coach, the staff is terrific. They believe in him, and certainly they have helped Daniel Jones tremendously. And they have to stay healthy. I mean, they could have won the division, obviously, the second half of the season, and then some was a major disappointment. There's no question about that. But they're going to be on the rise. They're in, let's face it, a tough division. You're in there with Philadelphia. Even the Commanders are competitive, and, of course, you know, with
America's team.
Yeah, sure. So, and with Dallas. So, the bottom line is it's a tough division, but you have to have Jones. He'll be back, and he should be improving. He could be like Josh Allen. It took him a while. It takes it took Eli Manning a while.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Now, your proposal for a deal for Daniel Jones, I'd go along with it. I'll sign up for that.
Right, and I think that's the and that's the problem that the Jets, going back to the Jets, is because they don't want to give up on Zach Wilson this quickly. Because again, it's only been 2 years.
Yeah, he's a stiff, Paulie.
But that's the problem.
Yeah,
is that
he's backup. He's got confidence problems.
Yes.
He's got mechanical problems.
Yes.
He had no competition in college. It was a bad choice.
Yeah. No, I think at this point this is two picks in a row, two high picks from the Jets.
Yeah.
In Darnold and Zach Wilson that could have really changed the franchise and set the franchise up for success. Swung and missed on. And again, they've hit. Sauce Gardner, it was great. Breece Hall, Elijah Vera Tucker, Mekhi Becton, Leonard Williams is on the Giants, excuse me.
Yeah.
The Quincy Williams, Quinnen Williams, the whole nine yards. They've hit on a lot of these, but the most important position in all of sports is quarterback. And they haven't had a quarterback, you know, probably since Mark Sanchez or Chad Pennington.
Yeah, sure. And you can go back to Vinny Testaverde. I thought you were going to go back to Namath.
I should. I should go back to Namath. Steve.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
grief.
On the seriously, I think because, you know, I mean, Brady is out, and I believe he'll stay out this time, and then Rodgers, he's not going to retire. There's too much money left on the table. And again, he doesn't want to be in the same Hall of Fame class as Brady, that's for sure. So he'll play at least one more year, and I think that's going to be in Green Bay. And then, of course, Garoppolo or Carr would certainly be an upgrade, as long as they could stay healthy, too, and you get the running back and the corner coming back and staying healthy, and everybody else 1 year with more experience, and we'll see what they can do in the draft. We'll see what they can do with free agency and any and all trades that they might make. The Jets are going to be heard from, and I know people have heard that before.
Yes, they have.
Yeah, but I think they can be cautiously optimistic, but optimistic is the operative word.
877-337-6666. That's the phone number. I see calls on the line already waiting to talk to Steve Summers. We're going to get to them in a few minutes. But on the subject of football, we have a Super Bowl coming up next week. We haven't touched that topic yet tonight. So what better time to touch it, that topic, than now? We have the Chiefs and the Eagles. The wonderful handicapper, Mr. Fearless Forecaster, if he is there or not, I don't know. But what is your take on the Super Bowl? Who do you like?
I think I'll give you the tagline for Fearless. He's sleeping at the moment. But if you get the necessary element, I can do the last line.
We will
take
search
a break
for the
and then come back and
yes, we will circle back to the. We will circle back to Fearless.
Yeah, can
tonight.
You find Fearless?
We will circle back to Fearless before I get you off the line.
Okay, very good.
So forgetting Fearless, let's go to Steve Summers.
Yes.
What is Steve Summers' opinion on Super Bowl
57? Philadelphia with a point and a half.
So you think you like Philly in the game?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, you can have Mahomes and He's amazing. There's no. Listen, I thought Cincinnati was going to beat him for the fourth consecutive time. So it goes. What a terrible, terrible penalty at the end there. But nonetheless, I mean penalties.
No, and the officials had a bad week last week.
Oh, and every game.
Yes.
There's no question about that. But no, I think Philadelphia is more balanced, better team. And listen, Kansas City is to be heard from, but I like Philadelphia a lot.
The Steve Summers prediction.
And let's hope if Philadelphia wins, we don't get the Empire State Building lit up in green.
Oh, can you believe they did? Now, clearly,
that's incredible.
Clearly, it was a marketing stunt, and it worked for them because that was a storyline, and that lasted a good news cycle.
Yeah,
and I don't know how much money the Empire State Building was paid, or what the deal was with the NFL or the city of Philadelphia.
I think it was just stupidity. I mean, if anything, put another crack in the Liberty Bell. Cheesesteaks for everybody in South Philly.
There we go.
On Broad Street. No. You don't light up the Empire State Building for the Philadelphia Eagles. You got to be joking.
I
think it just was a major, major faux pas, a major mistake.
I think most people agree with that take, Steve. Steve, you want to take some calls?
Yeah, sure.
Let's start it off with your namesake. Let's Steve in Washington Heights is on the fan. Steve, you're talking to Paulie and Steve. How are you?
Wow, what a night. I love radio, and Steve, I called India for 10 years. This is amazing. I wasn't expecting it. I hope you and Robin are doing well.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
No, I was just going to say we're doing okay. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. Steve, you have three nicknames, the Smoozer, Captain Midnight, and Fearless Forecaster. I mean, wow, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot, really?
And never lived up to all three.
But, that's not true. Go ahead.
Well, over 34 years, you know, once in a while you come along. And the interesting thing is the schmoozing. I mean, who knows if any of these things are going to stick. Fearless Forecaster included Captain Midnight. When I first started, I wanted to call the program Midnight Madness, and management didn't like that at all, so we had to change it. It became with the Captain Midnight, and it wasn't even my idea originally. And the old 1930s national radio show with Captain Midnight is the open that we used to use. And the Fearless Forecaster I was using when I was 17 and 18 years old, just starting out in the business on a top 40 radio station doing high school sports. And that's where the Fearless Forecaster absolutely debuted.
Wow, that's a great debut and a great backstory, Steve. I mean, Steve, it's so good you're back on. We miss you, buddy. We miss you so much, Steve.
I miss the camaraderie, too. I see Paulie every now and then.
And
he produced for a long time with me,
and
we've become good friends. And I miss it sometimes, too. You know, I always used to say, even when I was on the air, how do you retire from talking?
Steve, that's beautiful, bud. So, Steve, I'm so glad for this time, but I want to see what you think about the Mets and everything else moving forward. And I'm with you on, I think Carr has that something to prove thing, I'm with you. Everybody's on Rodgers, but I'm with you on that.
I don't want to do the Brett Favre thing again. That's short-term solution and no guarantee. Even though he would have more weapons, lacking maybe a Davante Adams, that he really missed him. But the bottom line is, but I don't want to see Brett Favre type situation again. And Rodgers, as I say, I think it'll be one more year for an awful lot of money, of course. With Green Bay.
That's a great point you made. He isn't going to retire. That's a phenomenal schmoozer side of it. Steve, I want to ask you about, like, old school stuff. Like, I want to make a request for the Jerome Zone or the King. some of your great production pieces that just are just really great relics of radio. So hopefully they can
said means a great deal, because the production pieces, Paul Arzuman was fellow in production that put everything together. We would talk every morning. I would give him an idea. We would talk about the elements. What I wanted to do was use radio, use sound, use the medium for not only, you know, sound effects and music and sound bites and play-by-play highlights, and just use whatever, even for movies and TV, using sound and music and all part of the program. And you never know if it's going to work. Thank God I got very lucky. See, you want to be good, because you're in New York City. You want to be good no matter where you're working or what you do, but you have to be very, very lucky. And I think I was as much, if not more, lucky than good most of the time. But the production pieces were fun to do, and they did work, yes.
Steve, we were so lucky to hear them. I mean, I know a lot's changed with the fans, Steve, but you're so loved by just all the, like, the Ningo, all the guys, they always say, Brandon and Tierney, that there's just something about you that really encapsulates, like, what New York sports is and your love of radio.
Steve, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank
you for the call, Steve.
Thanks very much for the call. And here we are kissing each other's ass. But the bottom line is, listen, you hear negative. You know that not everybody is going to like what you do or how you do it or what you do, and I'm aware of that. I'm aware of how humbling the business is, but I'm also very grateful that I was able to last with good luck. There's no question about it. And
it was all skill. What are you talking about, Steve?
Yeah, right.
It was all skill.
Yeah, you know better. There are nights when the energy wasn't there, or you know, you didn't feel as prepared as you should have been, and said, no, you can't go through any job, in or out of broadcasting, without having off nights or bad nights.
Of course.
And you were there. You were producing for a long time. So
that I was.
You heard the good and the bad.
I heard both. We'll do one more call, then we'll take a break, then we'll finish up with some more calls.
Okay.
This is Steve Summers on WFAN. Real quick, Tommy in Brooklyn is on the fan. Tom.
Tommy, right here. Thanks. Steve, this is an honor, man.
Hey,
what a surprise hearing your voice. Let me tell you, I work nights and driving home from work, I got to try to keep my eyes open. I used to turn the radio on every day and hear your voice, and you used to make me laugh so hard the whole way home. Falling asleep wasn't even an option.
That means a lot to me, and thanks for being there. I've always said two-way street. You're not there, I wasn't going to be there either.
Well, Steve, there's a lot of guys out there like me that I never called. I've been listening to you forever, and I never called. And there's a lot of guys that never call. Never get to actually thank you.
Oh, sure.
And I turn the radio on, I hear your voice. I'm like, you know what? I got to call. I got to get through to this guy, because you're the best, man. I remember one night you took a call. You were like, on the call is John from Ohio. John, why do you live in Ohio? And you caught this guy off guard. He didn't even know what to say. He wanted a call about, like, LeBron James. And he was like, what? You were like, why do you live in Ohio? Like, because my family moved here when I was a kid. You were like, all right, fair enough. What do you got? And I was laughing so hard. It was great. But let me tell you, the reason I wanted to talk to you was, I miss those monologues you're talking about with your producers putting together with the movie lines and the songs, and like I can't even imagine the stuff you'd be putting together with us losing.
Yeah, well, I am working on memoirs. You know, it's giving me something to do. So I am working on memoirs. It's not going to be a tell-all book, but it will have monologues in there, and maybe even some new ones. I appreciate that. Some of those monologues took a few hours to finish the sentence, and other monologues took about 10 or 15 minutes. It just it was there and just came to me. But some of the monologues were good, and some were not so good. I mean, I have to be very honest with myself, and some of them worked. And I think the key to any of those monologues, outside of a little bit of content, was the delivery. I think I think that had a lot to do with, because when you're writing for radio, people only hear it one time. If you're writing for website, a newspaper, a magazine, some blogging, then people could reread what you're writing. But radio, for the most part, they're only going to hear it one time. So the writing was pretty simple. I always thought it was the delivery that made the monologue work.
Absolutely, and not to mention the material. And that's why I feel like it's a shame, because if you were around, I mean, us getting Cohen and then getting Scherzer and then losing DeGrom and getting Verlander.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope Paulie or Keith McPherson has had me on a couple times, and he knows I'm a Metropolitan fan. So those are terrific moves. And they're in a tough division. I mean, you got Atlanta in there. You got Philadelphia in there. They're always going to be, and even Miami on occasion could give the Mets a hard time. But they're going to compete for the division, and they're a better team as we speak right now. I'll say one thing about the Correa situation. He would have had to have terminal cancer for me not to sign him. I would have signed him. I don't care what the doctors were going to say about, you know, what could happen, what's arthritic, what isn't arthritic.
But this guy wants to win.
I would have signed him right now.
You know what, though? Cohen wants to win. He's got the money. He's going to go out there for two teams to turn him down for this injury. There had to be more to the story that we
I guess so. But from what I understand, you know, and I say this facetiously, God forbid, with the cancer, but it would have had to be like he can't stand up maybe tomorrow. and then I'm not going to sign him. I mean, Minnesota re-signed him. We'll see how many games he misses with Minnesota. And everyone gets injured. They get tired. They need days off. I understand all that. But I think he's going to be able to play, and now he's got something to play for. And, you're right about Cohen. I love the guy. He's not the Will Ponzi's. That's for sure.
And real quick on the Correa ankle for Tom and Steve. Yeah. I mentioned this earlier. John Heyman earlier this week in the Post said one doctor suggested Correa has the worst ankle he's ever seen.
Oh, is that right?
So that was from John Heyman. So let's
Good.
He made
how many games he misses for Minnesota.
Right. So I think although we're going to get into this, I wanted to get into this later in the night, we can get into it now, the Mets still have an offensive issue. Correa would have solved that issue provided he was healthy. They are running back the same team offensively, and they are banking on Francisco Alvarez and Brett Beatty to really carry this lineup. And I don't know if I feel confident in Mets rookies carrying the lineup, because again, the Mets are another win-now team.
And I guess Escobar, you want another good season from him. He'll be over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, these are all good points. Listen, I'm going to let you guys go. I just wanted to touch on something real quick you guys mentioned before that I feel like no one's bringing up. I'm not a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm a diehard Giants fan, but I am like a football nut, just like most of your listeners. But if Aaron Rodgers went to the Raiders, I don't think people realize what he's walking into. He's never had. I think Josh Jacobs was the leading rusher in football this year. He's never had that in his career. Devontae Adams. And people are sleeping on, and they forget because he was hurt all year, that Darren Waller is an incredible tight end, probably the best tight end he'd be throwing to in his career. He's walking into an all-star offense that he's never had. And that's dangerous. You put him with that offense, and that is a win-now team. I mean, that division is stacked. It's ridiculous, but that would be some good football, man. Watching Aaron Rodgers with that running back and that receiver and that tight end, that's a dangerous formula. I'm going to run. Steve, God bless.
And God bless you, too. Thank you very much for calling the two of us. And we'll see about Rodgers. Anything is possible, whether he ends up with the Raiders. And he'd love to be playing with Devontae Adams again. He really missed him this year. Although he did develop, he had a receiver to throw to, and his tight end made a couple of passes. But he, I thought, regressed. I thought he showed his age. He looked bored. He looked disinterested half the time.
That he did.
And of course, he didn't have the kind of team that he was hoping to be playing with. But we'll see what happens with Rodgers. I think my two cents worth And that's about all that it's worth. I think he stays in Green Bay.
I think, and again, 877-337-6666, that's the number to call. If you want to chat with Steve Summers, we have some callers on the line already. We'll get to those callers shortly. One other thing, though, on Aaron Rodgers, I think that's the key, is when Jets fans think of the possibility of getting Aaron Rodgers, they always kind of think of Brett Favre. And it's almost, it's a bad trigger. It's a bad memory for them, even though I don't know how similar both situations are.
Well, what I'd like to see is the Jets have a quarterback that's under the age of 40, and that you could grow with and move forward with. I mean, what would you have Rodgers for? 1 year, maybe two, and then what? You're not developing anyone. I mean, you got a backup. And
what's your on the subject of development? What if Zach Wilson learns and sits behind Rodgers for 2 years?
Well, that's also hypothetical.
Sure, no, of course, yes.
I have no idea. I don't.
It certainly couldn't hurt him.
He needs reps. He needs Wilson needs work. He needs to go back to school is what he needs. But he needs to go to a football factory. Where he's from just didn't make it, and competition not there, and he's not a mobile quarterback, and he doesn't see the field. He holds onto the ball too long. Granted, you have to have a supporting cast around you.
Right, need the offensive line and everything.
Oh, sure. But to me, he's a backup.
I know, listen, at this point, he's a backup. I just wonder if he's sitting behind Rodgers and he can learn something from Rodgers.
Well, ask Jordan Love.
Well, that worked.
Well, Paulie, ask Jordan Love what he's learned from Rodgers.
That's a fair argument. That's fair. And again, I'd love to talk to Jordan Love about that.
Yeah.
But I think that's fair. But I just don't know. It couldn't possibly hurt Zach Wilson to learn from Aaron Rodgers. I guess that's kind of.
Well, he needs to play. But he doesn't need to play for the Jets. And if they do get themselves Carr or Garoppolo or even Aaron Rodgers for the sake of conversation. You know, trade him, get rid of him, and if he's no longer on the team, let another team develop him. And there aren't too many teams that would want him.
877-337-6666 is the phone number to call. We go out to Hamden, Connecticut. Paul is on the fan. Paul.
Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul.
How you doing, buddy?
Well, we're doing okay. Hope you too.
Yeah, when I hear you, I think of Bob Hiesler and the old days, and it's a pleasure to hear your voice again, and I know you're doing all right.
Yeah, no, we're coming along. Again, I just talk my wife's ear off every day, and there's a doorman across the street, a big Green Bay Packer fan, and he's a doorman at this elevator doorman building, and we talk. Oh, no, I mean, and I listen to the station and follow what's going on. I get your thoughts. I get everyone's thoughts. So the bottom line is, it's the next chapter. I'm working on memoirs. So we'll see how that turns out and what happens with that. And working with a very established author and former Sports Illustrated editor, who was a fan of the station and listened late at night when we were there. So we'll see how this works itself out. But in the meantime, everyone is doing okay, and it's nice of you to ask.
Okay, cool. You remember the last time we spoke, I said, I hope to God that me and you are still alive when the Jets win the Super Bowl. And
we will be.
Still alive, and they haven't won the Super Bowl, but hopefully it's wishful thinking. Huh?
Well, we'll be around in spirit. Yeah, you'll be around probably. I don't think anyone is older than I am, but maybe John Sterling.
Steve, one thing. I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of other calls. All I want to say is that I love you, man, and I've talked to you forever. I want to wish you all the best, and I'll let other people call in because I know your time is valuable because you're the best. And I love you, man, and it's great to hear you. And If you see Bob Eichler, give him my regards. And
will.
All the best, man. I love
you. Yes, and all the best to you. Thanks very much for calling Paul and myself. That very much appreciate. Again, it's maybe not the best radio, Paulie, kissing ass, going back and forth. But
hey,
but
you know what? It's
well, I appreciate it very much.
It's well deserved.
I appreciate it. I do.
It is well deserved. 877-337-6666. That's the phone number to call if you want to get me on Twitter. At Paul's Randomness, and I did get a question on Twitter for you, Steve.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm being asked to reminisce about your legendary Daryl Strawberry talk-up, and then Daryl did not appear.
Well, what happened is this was back in the summer of 87, and the Mets were in St. Louis on the road, and in those days, you didn't have public relations, filtering or buffering all the calls that you wanted to make to an athlete, you know, for an interview. And Daryl Strawberry, David Cohn used to be on all the time with us back in 87, 88, and Tim Tuffle. They would pick up the phone in their hotel room. They would actually check into the hotel in their own name. That doesn't happen now. And again, you have to go through PR with just about every team to get an athlete to come on. And if you do get them on, you have to pay them. So it's very, very difficult. But back in 87, 88, 89, when the station was first starting, the Mets would go on the road, and I would call for David Cohn in the hotel in Houston, for example. He was picking up the phone, same with Tuffle, same with other Mets, including Daryl Strawberry, who I had done a story on when I was in Hollywood in the late 70s, early 80s, doing television with Brian Gumbel. And I was a weekend sportscaster on Channel 4 out there, and Daryl Strawberry was in high school. And when Daryl Strawberry and Dwight Gooden were on 30-30, that ESPN documentary, they actually showed me for a moment or two interviewing Daryl Strawberry when he was in high school. And the day we went down to cover his high school, Crenshaw High, in South Central L.A., with Eric Davis, his best friend, the great Cincinnati Red, Eric Davis was. And here Daryl, with the cameras rolling, in the very first inning, hits a grand slam. And so we had more than enough right away with a nice interview with Daryl. But Sports Illustrated had referred to him when he was in high school as a black Ted Williams. That's how much faith they had in Daryl becoming a very special player. Anyway, back on the Fan, I'm asking him this question I couldn't get. Everyone thought it was a bit. Everybody thought it was something I did on purpose. I couldn't get around to a question. And I'm talking and talking and talking and going on and on and on, and I'm not getting to the question. And Daryl just hung up on me. And I deserve to be hung up on.
He hung up on you? You heard the phone click?
Yep. He said, that's enough. I don't know where this guy is going. This isn't the Steve Summers that I know. And he remembered me from his high school days. We covered him more than once for Channel 4 out there in L.A. when I was there. And but he just... He might have thought that I was pulling his leg.
Gotcha.
I don't know what he thought. And in the future, I never brought it up to him again. He didn't bring it up. He might have thought it was an imposter. He might have thought somebody was maybe him. I don't know
with the
what
bit,
he
yes.
thought. But he couldn't stay on the line. It was about an 8 to 10 minute just pontificating, saying absolutely nothing. That's why I've always said I made a career out of talking and talking and talking and saying nothing. And
I've heard that line. 877-337-6666. That's the phone number to call. Steve, one more segment?
Yeah, sure.
One more segment.
Can I go get a cigarette break?
Yeah, so what we'll do is we will take a break now. We'll go to the update. Okay. We'll come back. We still have phone calls, the whole nine yards. We'll do one more segment. And then I do want to ask you a little bit more on your big memoirs you're doing. That's exciting.
Okay.
So we'll do that. So if you're on, if you want to talk to Steve, 877-337-6666. We'll take a quick break now. We'll give Steve a call. We'll, if you want to hang on to old Steve, you can. If you want to give us a call back, give me a call back and we'll go from there. Done. Beautiful. 877-337-6666. It is Rosie Triple V and Steve Summers on the Fan. Freezing Saturday morning here on WFAN. It's Rosie Triple V, Paul Rosenberg here with you. 877-337-6666. That's the number to call. And right now, graciously joining us for a second segment after a nice little quick break is the wonderful Steve Summers. Steve?
Yes, Paul.
Hello. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Paul. It means a lot.
Oh, my pleasure. I have somebody that wants to say hello to you.
Okay.
That's a voice that I miss, Steve.
And who is this?
Oh, man. He doesn't even recognize my voice anymore. It's been that long. Jeez, man. I just did the update, too. Man.
Wait a minute.
It's been too long, Steve.
It's been too long. And it's been a year and a couple of months. That's how I look at it.
You know, and I will say this. Before everything happened, with, you know, going back or the COVID stuff, whatever, Steve was the last person that I saw before we left here. And I remember he was saying goodbye. And I'm like, Steve, I'll see you in like a couple of weeks. And he looked at me. Marco, I don't know. We may never see each other again. And you know what? See, Steve, that's not cool because it was almost like you knew it was coming, like the black cloud. I haven't seen you since. I've talked to you, but I haven't actually seen you since.
Steve, did you tell Marco that you weren't going to see him again possibly?
Well, I hope I do see him again sometime. I wonder if Marco is wearing the same plaid shirt.
He is wearing a plaid shirt right now.
Yeah.
He is, obviously.
You got me. Yeah.
Obviously, Marco Belletti is wearing a plaid shirt.
Yeah, Marco is just the best. And I'll tell you, if there's a Yankee fan more passionate than Marco, you've got to let me know.
Oh, I think it's very difficult. Now, Steve, what did you think? And while I have two Yankee fans, I have a Yankee fan, not Steve, of course. Your thoughts on the Yankee offseason? Obviously, Aaron Judge getting re-signed. Did anything jump out at you besides the Aaron Judge re-signing?
Well, the fact that you're going to have Aaron Hicks coming back, is he going to be in left field on opening day? I don't think too many Yankee fans want that. He was an absolute stiff, but he signed that big $70 million deal, so that's still in play. And then Torres, you know, even though what he did re-sign with the Yankees, he still could be traded. We'll see what happens. The Aaron Judge thing was a no-brainer, so that had to happen. And they could possibly use another starter, somebody else in the bullpen. They're going to be good, that's for sure. But the bottom line is, I wouldn't say right now they're a championship team.
Who do you think is closer, and then we'll get Marco out of here, Marco will say bye. Who do you think's closer to a World Series title, the Yankees or the Mets?
I would think the Mets.
I would agree with that. Marco, who's closer, the Yankees or the Mets?
No doubt, the Mets.
The Mets?
I'll tell you this. The Yankees didn't get better. All they did was not get worse.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
I mean, you bring Judge back, which was automatic, but he's obviously never going to have the season that he had last year ever again. You're not going to get 62 homers, and that's fine. Even if you get 40, he's having a great year.
Sure.
But what did they do with the rest of the lineup? The lineup is exactly the same. Rodon's a nice piece for the rotation.
Yeah.
But their starters were already really good, so he can't get much better in that spot, and that's not been their issue. They don't hit.
Yeah, that's right. And also health has got to be a consideration here. They have got to stay healthy for most of the season. That's all there is to it.
The health is a big thing.
All right, Steve, I'm going to say goodbye to you. Love you. Hopefully I'll see you soon, man.
Hey, Marco, take care of yourself and be well.
You too.
Marco and Steve, this is what I do. I put people together, and they haven't been together for a very long time.
Yeah, Hueser I've seen. Minko I have seen. Ed Coleman I have seen. And Mark Melusis I have seen.
And me.
Most of the others, I may come down one afternoon or one evening when you're on, and you know, say hello to some of the guys that I miss.
Right, and at one point when I'm not on in the middle of the night, I will have to get you down to the studio so we can do this in studio.
Oh, yeah. No, I would like to do that, too. Sure.
877-337-6666. Tony is calling from Michigan. Tony, you're on the Fan.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Tony, what's happening?
Not much. I just wanted to say, you know, I actually, it's funny because I'm actually a half Canadian Toronto sports fan living in Michigan, but I have a huge affinity for New York and New York City. And something I wanted to say to you that I'm sure I'm going to speak for a lot of people. During the time of the pandemic, when the world was, let's face it, the world was sideways, the world was upside down.
Sure.
There were a lot of people spending their nights scared, not knowing, you know, what the next day was going to bring. Your voice and your show brought so much peace and calm and was just so impactful to me. As somebody, I got COVID pretty early on and I got it bad. And before the vaccines and everything came out.
Sure.
And, you know, none of us knew really what was going to happen from one day to the next. And nighttime, for somebody like me who battles depression, nights are hard. And I just wanted you to know that, and again, I think I speak for a lot of people, you being on the air and being the voice of reason and the voice of comfort probably, I think, was maybe more impactful to people like me than anything having to do with sports.
Well, let me just say this. First of all, thanks. But if you, I needed you too. You have to understand, and I know this is with me like a cliche already, I needed you as much as maybe you need to listen to a little peace and calm, I guess, during a crazy time, that's for sure. But you have to know that I needed you just as much. And that goes for those who called in and those who happened to be listening that I didn't hear from. We had no sports. So once we went through some of the best games, audio and with talking about some of the best games that were with the Yankees and with the Mets and with
right.
the Knicks and with all the teams, then it had to do with how we were all going to be coping and managing the pandemic, especially at the very beginning. And it was all kind of scary and, you know, it had to do with quarantine and masking and
right.
and the 6 feet between everybody. So, you have to know, and I thank you very much for your very kind words.
Thank you, Steve.
And I thank you because it does work both ways. That's not a cliche. Now, one of the best things about sports talk or any talk radio is listening. And so to hear from people that may have been overly concerned, and that was okay. If they weren't concerned, didn't want to wear a mask, whatever their position was, we were going to listen to it. And because it was on their mind and they felt like calling a friend or they felt like calling somebody that had a familiar voice to them, and there was no sports after talking about games that were, and the Fan at the time were playing old Yankee games and old Met games and so forth and so on. But once all of that was said and done, then people were calling and talking a lot about the fact that we had no sports and why and how and what we were all going to do coping and managing with the pandemic. But you have to know that as much as it might have been therapy for some of the listeners like yourself, it was also therapy for me.
That and again, Tony was a wonderful caller, and he does speak for a lot of callers. To that time, and again, I barely even saw you, obviously, because we were all doing shows from home. It was just one person back at the studio. So it just and handling that, because everything changed. It's not like you can point to me for a cue or this, that, and the other thing. So your show changed, and you had to adapt, which you did.
Yeah, and I'm doing it from home.
Sure.
Because a lot of us had to stay away from the station and doing it from home. So we were doing as best we can and staring at the refrigerator, the setup with the microphone and the technical equipment was in the kitchen. So I always had popcorn ready,
yes,
you know, for the breaks. But the bottom line is it was an unusual time, an historic time, a scary time.
Sure.
But still, we have been able to get through it and still getting through it. And it may be like the flu, where it just never goes away, but becomes manageable.
Yes.
And becomes something that we can live with and not die from.
100%. Steve, we'll do one more call, then me and you will chat. Bob in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
Bob.
Steve, joyous surprise to hear you on air this morning, my man.
Well, me too. You would think once I'm out of there, they're moving forward. And you become a memory. So it was nice that Paul asked me during a long show overnight under the covers that he would have me on for a couple of minutes. More than happy to have a reunion with Paul, who earned the opportunity, who deserves the opportunity to be hosting, and was my producer for a long, long time. Not just a producer and a colleague, but he's become a friend.
Well, I couldn't let the opportunity pass without getting a comment or two from you about the state of your favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, how about their kicker missing those four consecutive extra points, and then he misses a field goal? I was in seventh heaven. It was like New Year's Eve, the Mardi Gras. It was the 4th of July. How much fun was that? My favorite team, of course, America's team, and that kicker having, and the expression on his face after every miss, one miss maybe on an extra point, maybe two. What did he miss over two games? Four in a row and then missed a field goal? Oh, no, he was great.
Well, I wish them another 25 years of the same luck they've had for the last 25, believe me.
Yeah, well, as long as you have Dak Prescott, Dallas isn't going to be winning anything. What a stiff. All he does is throw interceptions. He led the league in interceptions, and how many games did he miss?
Well, but that'll be good enough for a contract extension, according to Jerry's logic and way of doing things. But,
yeah, well, there's another one.
And Jerry and Jerry and Mike McCarthy are going to be calling the plays now because Kellen Moore went to Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, man.
So yeah, that was, I trust me, we all know I thought of you with the Cowboys situation. One more tweet. So DJ Mr. C tweeted me saying that he dropped you off at home during a snowstorm in 2013.
Oh, I remember that. I was coming out of the bank down at the on the corner because where the station is, and I was at the bank, and it was snowing. My umbrella had turned itself upside down, and he was parking or about to leave. And recognized with his headlights who I was and wondered who I was, and he gave me a ride home.
Tremendous.
Yeah, no, tremendous.
So he tweeted me, and he tweeted me the picture of you and him that you guys took together?
Yeah, sure.
So it's a small world. So that was, he wanted to say hello as well.
Well, if he's still listening, and I'm sure he is, I thank you enough. I remember that vividly. That wouldn't have happened. Listen, maybe some people knowing who I am that particular night would have refused to give me a ride home. But he had asked me if I could use a lift. I said, if it's not out of your way, and it was out of his way, but he still dropped me off, right around where I live. So I can't. I thank you if you're listening. I'll remember it for the rest of my life, that's for sure.
Ah, Steve, tremendous. And Steve, as we wrap up here, you had mentioned, and I don't believe I knew this, that you are writing your memoirs. What information can you give us on that?
Well, it's not necessarily going to be a tell-all book, but it will include things that about what it was like working at WFAN, and some of it might be controversial about Mike and the Mad Dog and the personalities that were on the air and management and so forth and so on. So and it'll be a little bit telling about myself, about things that I didn't share with the audience, personal things. I think that'll be in the book as well. Mm-hmm. More about my own family and my older brother. I mean, a lot of things that were not discussed.
Of course.
You know, because it wasn't part of what I was paid to do. I mean, there was a lot of personal with my father and with my mother, a lot of family.
Of course.
In the very, very beginning. But as the years went by, it became more with callers and listeners and other people at the station.
Is there a time frame that you
think?
Well,
it's going to be from the beginning.
That's no, for on when it's going to come out.
What's that?
On when the book is going to be released.
Oh, well, we're still putting it together.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's going to be a while. If we're lucky, you know, maybe sometime later this year, but
perfect.
I don't even see that happening.
Gotcha.
We're in the early stages of putting it together. The fellow that is helping me is a guy by the name of Dick Friedman. The guy went to Harvard, so...
Oh, he's a smarty.
Yeah, and was a Sports Illustrated editor, also an author of a number of books on sports and including golf. He's written a couple of books about that and the history of such. And he was a listener when he was working for Sports Illustrated here in New York. And, you know, we are collaborating and working together on trying to get this done. And I think, listen, I've said to him, do you want to really do this? Who's going to read it? Sports books don't really do a lot of selling, but this one might.
I think it's going to be very popular.
Well, we hope so, but we'll get to that point when we do. But in the beginning right now, that's really where we are. Now, you know, more like, you know, in the forward before we get to chapter one.
Steve, you know what I think of you. You're an incredible human. Thank you for joining me for about an hour and 5 minutes.
Well, thanks.
Early on a Saturday morning.
Listen, I'm glad to hear that you're on the air. It's the way it should be. Given the opportunity, you're qualified, you're capable, you've earned this. And people, I'm sure over time, if they don't know already, they'll know that you're a special human being and belong on the air in New York City. Good luck to you. Thanks for having me on, and we'll do it again.
Absolutely. Steve, get some sleep, okay?
You got it.